Take your Bibles now, go to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 35. Read the first four verses this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 1, you'll join me on verse number 2. Psalms chapter number 35, read verses 1 through 4. Psalms chapter 35, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded, and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly appreciate, Lord, in times like these, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit, Lord, to comfort us, Lord, to guide us, to give us wisdom. Lord, thank you for a man of God, Lord, that stands firm on the Word of God. Lord, tonight, Lord, amidst all the confusion, Lord, discouragement, Lord, the things that we're seeing with our eyes, Lord, may we remember, Lord, that we're to walk by faith and to not walk by sight. Use the message that has been prepared for us tonight, Lord, to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to strengthen our walk with you, to draw us closer to you so we can do more for you as we leave this place tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd work in our midst. We'll be careful to give you the glory for everything that takes place here this evening. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Here in Psalm 35 is a sweet and precious truth. I'll need your attention tonight. For some of you, that'll be the first time you gave it. But seriously, I want you to think with me tonight. I love the Bible. I do. I realize I've been preaching for 39 years. I realize that I've been in the Bible probably more than, if not everybody, most everybody in here combined. I love God's words. And may I say this, God is very capable of saying what God wanted without man trying to interrupt. God's words are just that, God's words. And he says in his word that not one jot, not one tittle will be changed. You say, what's a jot and what's a tittle? A jot is like the line on top that goes through a T. A tittle is like the dot on the I. God says not even one of the letters has changed. We often don't slow down and look at the Word of God in light as how God wrote it and get our own brain out of the way. Now, listen to me very carefully. In our world today, we misuse words a lot. We misuse the meaning of words a lot. And soon, with the massive misuse of words, the wrong definition becomes acceptable in society. Let me show you what I mean. Somebody asks you how you're doing. You'll often say, I'm doing good. I like English grammar. Then I all say, what good are you doing? It's not that you're doing good, you're doing well. They're asking you the adverb, not the adjective. But it's been so acceptable that when somebody says, I'm doing well, people will look at you like, well, who are you? I'm the one that said it right, not you. That's a misuse. The word gay used to mean happy. It means a whole lot different today. Now it means alphabet soup. Now, such is the case with tonight's truth. We often interchange two words to mean the same thing, and they are not the same. They're two totally different words. And we're just going to look at these two words tonight. We find them in Psalm 35, verse number 4. It says, "Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt." We're going to look at those two words tonight, confounded and confusion. Confounded and confusion. We often use these words the same way, but they are not the same thing. First of all, the word confound. It means, biblically and in many other cases, it means to cause surprise by acting against your expectations. It means a delay that you did not plan on. How many of you have ever, fellas, worked on that bolt that you couldn't get off, and you threw your wrench and said, "That's confounded thing"? Yeah, Joe, how many times a day? Amen. Don't talk about your wife that way. I know, Leanne, she'll slap you. The word confound means it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Maybe you ladies had a recipe that didn't turn out quite the way you wanted it to. I don't know. What she feeds me, I will swallow, and I don't say nothing about it. Amen. Now, oh, I'm going to be in trouble tonight. The word confound, the dictionaries often say that the word confound means to be ashamed. And that's not true. We read here in verse 4, let them be confounded and put to shame. You wouldn't say let them be ashamed and put to shame. That would not be appropriate. So the word confound is not the same word. Look at Psalm chapter 40. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight, so get your fingers licked up here. Psalm 40, look at verse number 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. God says, let them be confounded and ashamed to those that seek to destroy. Now, listen to me very carefully. Both in Psalm 35, both and in Psalm 40, this is in reference to people who are trying to attack you or someone who is on the attack against us. Evil people try to destroy. Sorry. Wise people try to build. Can I tell you something? I've had a lot of attacks in my life. I've had a lot of people... I've been plastered in the Chicago Tribune and other newspapers as being associated with things that are as far from reality as could be. Can I tell you something? The world will try to attack you, to break you down so that they can look taller than they are. When you have to step on somebody to be taller than they are, you're not being wise, you're being wicked. You don't crawl over somebody and beat them down to say, ha, I won. How about you step above them? And God says he will confound those that attack us. Things aren't going to turn out quite the way they thought it would. It didn't say that we would be confounded, but that our attackers would be confounded. Look at Hillary. She's still blaming people. She was confounded. She thought she had to think. Look at Michael Bloomberg. I mean, he spent $1 billion for 3 electoral votes that weren't even in our country. I mean, hey, he didn't even get American Exchange on it, amen? Can I tell you something? The word confound literally means you become delayed because something didn't go the way you expected it to go. Psalm 34:5 says, those enemies who seek my soul to destroy it, to hurt me, God will confound or cause them delay in their plan, and it won't work out right. Turn to Psalm 71, just a few pages over. Psalm 71, verse 24. And I did not use a ton of scripture, but I'll use quite a bit tonight. Psalm 71, verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. I got to the office about 5 this morning, a little before 5 this morning, and there was 2 messages on the voicemail. I punched the codes in, and the first was, I can't believe you people knocking on my door. And he began to give me what for, because we were out soul winning yesterday in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic is the term he used. He say, what did you do? I hit delete, and I went to the next one. And a lady said, she said, I just felt you should know there was 5 people from your church on my street, and they were out knocking on doors, and I worry about their safety. And she wasn't mean, but she didn't want us knocking on her door. We did anyway. You say, were you mad? No. That happens when we don't have a coronavirus. Good night. I had to go to the police station one time because we had knocked on the same door 3 times in about 6 weeks. We didn't know it, and this lady called me every time, and boy, she threatened me with a trespass warrant and everything else. So I just went down to the police station and said, told them what was going on, told them what happened. The police officer looked at me and said, is she demon-possessed or what? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to get out ahead of this thing in case you all get a call. He said, that's all I need to know, Pastor. He said, you just keep doing it. He said, I'd advise not knocking on her door for a while. I said, I've tried to stop it. But do you know who the third person that knocked on it was? My wife. Yeah, blame her for it, not me. It's all her fault. The woman thou get. No. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we expect. But can I tell you something? Nebuchadnezzar threw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fire. He was confounded. He didn't expect them to be loose walking around and come out of that fire. It didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to turn out. In Genesis chapter 11, don't take time to turn there, verses 6 through 9, God uses the word confounded at the Tower of Babel. Up until Genesis chapter 11, everybody was of one language. And they started building a tower. They wanted to build a tower that reached to God so they could climb the steps to get to heaven and back. Man was trying to be his own God. He thought he was as powerful as God was, and God says, I'm going to confound their language. So when they began talking, they didn't understand each other, and they had to find somebody that understood what they were saying. They broke off into people groups based on language, and that was the breaking of into races. You say, why did God do that? Because he knew man would worship himself. Look where we're at today. Good night. Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. Of course, this is in reference to the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 6, watch this. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Let me help you with something. The gift of tongues was not that the disciples were jibber-jabbering in some unknown language and everybody understood one language. If you go through the book of Acts chapter 2, or go through Acts 2, find out what tongues was, it says that every man heard in his own language. The disciples were up preaching in Greek, and the Italians and the Russians and the Chinese and the folks from India and all over Africa and all over everywhere else that were there, they were of every tribe and kindred of people that were there, all languages, because of Pentecost on a year of Jubilee, they were all there gathered together, and the Bible says every man heard in his own language. It was not, and they were confounded because they knew everybody was understanding, but they could hear in their own language. That's what the gift of tongues was. It wasn't somebody getting up and saying all the motorcycle names backwards. It wasn't some flipping on the floor saying, I got it, I got it, I got it. It wasn't, God's not the author of confusion, but he did confound them. We'll get to that in a moment here. So the Pentecost, God confounded them. They began to listen. They knew those were Greeks, but they were hearing them in their own language. And it caused them to listen to where 3,000 got saved and baptized that day. Became missionaries all over the world, starting churches all over the world, getting the gospel out to every creature like God wanted. Then we have in 1 Peter 2:6, don't take time to turn there. Bible says that when we believe in Jesus, you'll never be confounded by him. Did you know God's never going to confound you? Amen. God's not going to delay in answering you and confound you just to trick you. God's not some mean old man trying to trick everybody. We get this idea that that God's up there just having fun trying to trick everybody. So, to be confounded means that you're shocked that things didn't turn out quite the way you planned. Let me use this illustration. My dear wife and I, we left Bible college. Took her a year longer to get through because she's just a few months younger than I am. She's 9 months younger than I am. But she just had her birthday, so we're the same age now. At least till May 23rd. She finished up the year after I did. We left Bible college and went to Long Beach, California, and I was an assistant pastor there. I did my tour of duty. God knows, I hated California. I used to tell my folks, they said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I just know I'm not going to go to California. Don't ever tell God you're not going to do something. First place we went, Long Beach, California. Got in a Penske truck, pulling my little escort. Drove all the way from the Chicago area to Long Beach, California, through the streets of L.A., everywhere. Went over the Cajon Pass, you name it. Been there on the 5, 10, 110, 405. Got in on the 91. Lord, help us. We're coming into the L.A. Valley, and my wife says, honey, where are we going to live? I said, I don't know. We didn't have an apartment. We didn't have a house. We didn't have nothing. She said, you don't know where we're going to live? I said, nope. I said, we'll figure that out when we get there. Then I got lost. There was no such thing as GPS back in 1990. I got lost, and I knew I was in a really rough part of town. Well, the part of town we got in is where the Rodney King riots started. We were there. I got out, and a fellow looked at me at the gas station. He said, you're the wrong color to be here. I'm not being unkind. That's just what he said. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I got to get to this address. He said, you're still in the wrong neighborhood, son. He said, you need to get in that truck and protect that little wife of yours, lock the doors, and get out of here. I said, I will, as soon as you tell me how to get to where I'm going. I said, I've been driving from Chicago. I've got to get there. He said, go down here, turn right, get on that road, and stay on it till you get there, and don't get out of your truck. I said, no problem. I got in my truck and drove there, pulled up right in front of the church, just like the guy said. And walked in, the pastor said, I think I got a house for you. So we went about 5 blocks away, looked at a house, took it, moved our stuff in. We were there for 2 years. Oh, my soul, did we go through some battles. I went through some battles my wife didn't know about. I was fighting and she didn't know. It came time to get out of there. And I got a call one morning in my office. Brother Hiles had called me. You've heard me tell the story, many of you. Brother Hiles called and he said, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, Craig, do you want to stay? I said, preacher, I can't stay. I said, if I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor in this church. And I said, if I'm loyal to the pastor, I have to change my principles, and I'm not doing that for him, for you, or for anybody else. That was not smart to say. But I said it. I'm 24, 25 years old. And he said, all right, I'll help you. Well, he hooked us up to interview with another pastor in Southern California, a good man, building a large work. He was a younger man. I didn't know it at the time, but he had been burned by a disloyal assistant pastor. He came to my house, interviewed my wife and I, and things just didn't mix real well. He wasn't a bad guy, but I couldn't work for him. I was supposed to call Brother Hiles back. I told him what he said. That's what so-and-so said to me as well. He said, I'm confounded. He said, if you're both grizzled old guys like me, I'd understand it, but you're both young bucks. I said, well, if you're confounded, what do you think we are? He said, all right, let me go to work on this. It was the first time I think I remember hearing the word confounded used that way. It didn't turn out the way he thought, is what he's saying. That's what confound means. Now, the word confuse. God also says in Psalm 35:4, and turn them back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. The word confusion means bewilder. Listen to this. To make something complex or less easy to understand. Uh, coronavirus has become confusing. They've taken something simple and turned it to confusion all over the world. It's a cold virus that affects the upper respiratory system. That's what it is. You can look at Clorox wipes. You can look at a spray can or Lysol wipes. It says human coronavirus. Yeah, you got to have toilet paper, though. Just remember, we'll be able to get it at your local yard sale in May. now, they have tried to take something simple and make it complex. Man thinks the more confusing it is, the deeper it is. Well, manure can get pretty deep, and it's not real complex. It's exhaust. The only thing complex is how high you got to throw it. You just got to keep shoveling it. That's what they're doing. They are trying to take something that's very simple and complicate it and complicate everybody's life and ruin the economy by doing it. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to show you something about this. Preacher, our world's just so confused, and I'm so confused about what the press is saying. They're confused about what they're saying. But I was never so happy to see our president call somebody down this week. Oh, that was classic. Oh, that was classic. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of, what's that word? Confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. If God's not the author of confusion, that only leaves two possibilities, man and the devil. Man creates confusion. The devil creates confusion. God does not create confusion. By the way, this was in reference to 1 Corinthians 14 is in reference to tongues. You got people out there, well, if you don't speak in tongues, then you aren't saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not what God said, because God said he's not the author of confusion. Pentecost wasn't about people speaking in tongues. It was about people hearing in their own tongue. I'm not going to go there. But God is not the author of confusion. The confusion you see today is not by God, it's by man.
That's right.
And by the devil. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 19. And boy, I don't have time to go through all these because I don't want to hold you too late tonight. But Acts chapter 19, look at verse number 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with what? Confusion. And having caught Gaius and Articus and men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. This is in reference to false religion. The god Diana, the goddess Diana. Did you know that false religion is confusing?
Sure.
Now, listen to me very carefully, and I need your attention on this. I am not making fun of anybody or anything, but think of how confusing religion is. You got to burn candles for your lost loved ones to keep them out of purgatory. You got to go to confession and tell some guy in a telephone booth and pay him some money all the bad things that you did. And he'll take on your sins. Yeah, right. You got to buy beads and pray the rosary. Yeah, that's the word. I knew it wasn't the word that was in my head at the time, and I wasn't going to. You got to get baptized to get saved. Well, you can get baptized in every pole, every creek, and every pond and know every tadpole by name and still die and go to hell.
Right.
Baptism doesn't save anybody. I can take my wedding ring off, still be married. Just because you put a wedding ring on doesn't make you married. That's all baptism is. It's letting everybody else know that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look at what man's religion does. You've got people that will crawl up steps, 900 steps at Mecca through glass shards and everything else. it's kind of ridiculous at what some people do in the name of religion. And you want to talk about the most confusing religion? It's called humanism. Man worshiping man. That's what we have today. Humanism. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We could go to Isaiah 45:16. It talks about false religion. Religion is man-made, man telling God how God must accept man. Christianity is God telling man what he must do to be accepted. That's the difference. We are not religious, we're Christians.
Amen.
It was the religious crowd that crucified Jesus. It was the people in the temple. It was the chief priests. They conspired with the government. Boy, that's good. Everybody doing okay? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Just a few pages over. Jeremiah chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Actually, Song of Solomon in there, but most of you wouldn't even know that. Jeremiah chapter 7. I saw Brother Barnes' head pick up, so I figured he knew it. Jeremiah chapter 7, look at verse number 19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to confusion of their own faces? Notice God says man provokes himself to confusion. What's that called? United States media. I listened to the governor for a while last night. Yeah, so was I. He confused me more just listening to him going back and forth, and I still don't know what he said. Usually when he opens his mouth, it means believe the opposite, but he said so many things opposite, I wasn't sure what to believe or what not to believe. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like, whew. My 22-year-old daughter had enough sense to say, Dad, does this guy know what he's talking about? I said, no, he doesn't. The media, listen to what the media says and believe the opposite and you'll be less confused. I mean, you can't even believe the newsman or the weatherman. If it's going to rain, it means the sun's coming out. If the sun's coming out, it means it's going to rain. About the only thing you can believe is the date and the time from the media. And I hate saying it, but even what you consider good news media, even that's being slanted.
Yep.
Just so you know, it's hard. You say, well, I agree with the president, but I don't like all his, what do they call it, tweeting? Is that the right word? I'm not into social media much at all. That's the only platform he has to get his own words out. And there are times he'll take negative press just to keep his name in the press. Just because they're trying to tell you what he said that was wrong, that was actually right. He's learned how to use that negative press for him, not just let it, and he lets the bad just bounce off. He just prompts it and says, I'll push your button so that you tell everybody what I want you to tell them. He's pretty sharp at it. This virus thing. Everybody's confused. Everybody's scared. 61 million Americans in 2009 had H1N1. 22,000 died. We didn't shut the country down. We didn't tank the economy. We've been through polio. We've been through swine flu. We've been through Hong Kong flu. We've been through Hong Kong flu-y and everything else. We've been through measles. We've been through chicken pox. Good night. Now they don't even let them get chicken pox. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. But may I say this, we've been through a lot of things in life, and yellow fever, black fever, malarias, you name it, it's all out there. And yet we still have all survived for the most part. Well, 300,000 and some people have had it. And yeah, but in comparison to 7.8 billion people in the world, that's nothing.
Right.
They're counting on you thinking that that's a lot of people. And I agree. Each one of those people is a human being, and it's a lot of people worldwide, but those are worldwide numbers. Brother Wiley and I were, I pulled up the world meter that's it's up to the minute count on this virus thing. If you took China, Iran, Italy, and Spain, out of the 12,000 deaths, 10,000 of them came from those four countries. 2,000 deaths in the rest of the world. 2,000, that's it. 16,000 people die in the world every day. I'm not saying that it's not something serious, especially if you have it. What I'm saying is, it's not let's quarantine everybody and let's tank everybody's life and destroy everybody and get everybody all in fear of this thing. It's like anything else. If your system is compromised, it's going to be more serious. If you're prone to pneumonia or you have asthma or have lung issues, upper respiratory is not good disease for you to be around. I get it. But may I say this? There, you walk around with cancer cells in your body. But your body's strong enough to fight it off for the most part. When your body quits fighting it is when you, what we would say, you have cancer. But you have those cells in you now. You're fighting them off. You have viruses. It's ding dong as well. We don't have the cure for a virus. Right, that's why everybody still gets a cold. But what he said was that was wrong was this, that you don't have the immune system to battle it and to win it. That's false. They took a truth, extended it, and made it a lie. They've made it confusing. And now the world lives in confusion over something so simple. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 71:1. Last verse, and then I'll make a couple statements and be done. Psalm 71. This will help you. I can sum everything up in this one verse. Are you ready? Verse number one. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Confusion is looking at the circumstances. Not being confused is looking at the principles of the Word of God. When you stand by principle, you won't be confused. When you start compromising your principles is when you start getting confused. When you enforce all the rules, you're not confused. When you let certain people break the rules at certain times is when things get confusing. When you tell your children, one more time and I'm going to do this, then do it. Don't push it four or five more times. Because that's when it becomes confusing, because the next time you say one more time and you do punish them that next time, now they're confused. Last time you gave them four or five warnings, now you have one. That's confusion. When you look at the circumstance, you're going to be confused. When you look at the principles, the truths, then you will not be confused. Can I tell you something? That's why your preacher's pretty calm right now, because I'm looking at the truth, not the confusion. The people running around weirded out like a bunch of rats on a ship, scurrying for the next piece of toilet paper, for the next bottle of water. Good night. Can't even find toilet paper in West Virginia. The magazine racks are empty. I mean, let's come on now. Was it Chris? Were you telling me? Is one of your relatives said, "Good thing there's corn cobs in the crib." I mean, come on, folks. We're West Virginians. We got this thing figured out. And there's thousands of years where there was no such thing as toilet paper. It doesn't take long to get alternative action here. All right, you're not going to die because you don't have toilet paper. And I still haven't figured out why toilet paper with an upper respiratory virus. But we won't go there. The more we trust man or man's government or man's media, the more confusion there is. Government is there for us to protect ourselves from one another. But when government starts taking over us, we're in trouble. That's why it says we the people, not we the government.
Amen.
Mr. Folk knows. I am not disrespectful. As a matter of fact, I respect him highly. But if he gets in as our governor, he works for us. We don't work for him.
Amen.
I know him well enough to say that that's not offensive. Mr. Manchin didn't like either of my letters. One of them, he was quite terse in return. You say, why? Because I was quite terse in my sending. You say, why? He didn't like the fact that I told him he worked for me. I don't work for him.
Amen.
I don't care how he feels. He needs to do what's right, not by what he feels.
Amen.
He didn't like that. And in no uncertain terms told me that. And that's okay. I told him what the truth was. Now, wait a minute. We shouldn't be afraid of government.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not afraid. There are people that have a lot of power. The man that was here last week, Stuart McMillan, he's a good man. He's a powerful man. He's a very wealthy man. He's known all over the world. He's helped get the mayor in his town and helped with his state some. And I mean, I'm talking about a man that has given away millions and millions and millions of dollars to charity, helped our church graciously. He's a good man. He's a very powerful man, but you watched him stand here and weep last week. You say, why? Because we understand. Don't look at the circumstances. I was almost wondering whether he was going to come last week because all the stuff going on. He said, I don't believe none of that mess. He said, Pastor, he said, I run into fires. You think I'm worried about a virus? I love that mentality. I love it. Principles and God's word delete confusion. You get you a good dose of that, you won't be as confused. You live by truth and by principle, you'll be less confused. I am confounded at the confusion of this world. This old world is given into the confusion of Satan and sin. I'm confounded by how so, quote unquote, spiritual people are now trusting the very people they used to preach against. They're trusting the system that they didn't trust before. I just happen to believe the old-fashioned book right there.
Amen.
It's God's word. You stay focused on that, you'll stay a whole lot farther ahead than the weirded out crowd. I was somewhere this, I don't even remember where I was. And there was a lady there. She said, who are you? I reached in my pocket and handed her a gospel tract. And I said, I'm Pastor Grace Baptist Church. She said, I knew you had to be a preacher. I said, why? She said, you're not nervous? I said, ma'am, what should I be nervous about? She said, all the stuff happening in the world today. I said, no, ma'am. I said, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
I said, I'm going to heaven someday. Are you? She said, well, yeah. And I began to talk to her. She was a saved lady. I said, can I tell you why you're all nervous? You're listening to the wrong people. I said, you're focused on what's happening here and what you're hearing. How about we focus on up there? I said, are you going to live forever here? She said, no. I said, then what are you worried about? By the time I got done, she was calm. She was less freaked out. Now, she still bought all the stuff she had. But this whole world's confused because they're looking around. They're not looking up. They're not looking into the book. Let's look and live, and everything will be all right. Confounded or confused. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. It's a preacher somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? My soul. Dozens of hands. Thank you.